Now continuing on, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord? Now these are young men of the children of Israel. I would assume that they were Levites, though they were not yet consecrated as priests. Okay? They may have been from the other tribes. I don't know. And Moses took half of the blood, put it in the basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. He took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people, and they said, what did he write down? Everything here that we just covered in these chapters. He read it in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. And the Lord took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and I imagine those in the first row got the most of it, which the Lord had made with you concerning all the words. And then went up Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, the paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. That must have been awesome. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, and they did eat and drink. And the Lord said to Moses, come you up unto me in the mount, and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone, and a law, and commandments, which I have written, that you may teach them. So they went up there. He was up there 40 days and 40 nights. Now, here is what God told them. Told Moses. The very first thing, this tells us God's intention, doesn't it? Verse 1, chapter 25. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering, of which every man that gives it willingly with his heart shall he take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, goat's hair, ram's hair dyed red, badger skin, acacia wood, as it should read, oil for the lamp, spices for the anointing oil, and sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. So God then says, now how am I going to carry this out for all of you? Here's how I'm going to do it. It's going to make a sanctuary. I draw your attention to the things that we covered during the Feast of Tabernacles concerning the tabernacle. Question. If you're going to have offerings, you're going to have an altar. God intended them to have offerings. It was not some strange, mysterious thing that, A, the children of Israel sinned, and he added the offerings. No, during the 40 days of the instructions, God gave all of these instructions how to build the tabernacle. Now, what are you going to do when you get the tabernacle built? Look at it. Or use it. Use it. How are you going to use it? Who is going to run it? That's what he's telling him. Okay? Now, let's come over here to chapter 29. Gives all the instructions down through to how the priest was going to dress. Now, let's begin here in verse 1 of chapter 29. And this is the thing that you shall do unto them to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock, and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, and cakes of unleavened tempered with oil, and wafers of unleavened bread anointed with oil of wheat flour shall you make them, and you shall put them into one basket, and bring in the basket with the bullocks and the two rams, and Aaron and his sons shall you bring to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, wash them with water, and you shall take the garments and put them on Aaron, the coat, the robe, the ephod, the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod, and you shall put the mitre on his head. The holy crown shall be upon the mitre, and you shall take the anointing oil, pour it upon his head, and anoint him, and you shall bring his sons, and put coats upon them, gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets upon them. The priest's office shall be for theirs for a perpetual statute, and you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons, and you shall cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the bullock, and you shall kill the bullock before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. You shall take the blood of the bullock, and you shall put it upon the horns of the altar with the finger. Pour all the blood beside the bottom of the altar, and you shall take all the fat that covers the outward parts, and the cow that's above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat there upon them, and burn them upon the altar. But the flesh of the bullock and his skin and his dung shall you burn without the camp. It is a sin offering. Before it was even said that they sinned, right? Why did there have to be a sin offering? Because why? The law of sin and death was what? Within Aaron and his sons, and they could not minister unto God with the law of sin and death in them unless there was an offering for a sin offering. They could not be dedicated to do the work of God until there was an offering for the sin that they had inherently within them besides what they may have trespassed later on. Now, do we all understand that point very clearly? See, it's very important to understand. It was not a surprise to God that the children of Israel sinned, so therefore God did not add the sacrifices to the covenant with Israel because of sin. When we get back to Galatians 3 and verse 19, we're going to see that God added the covenant of Israel, which included the laws and sacrifices, to the promises given to Abraham. And this is a whole different perspective then. Okay, now let's go on. Go down here to verse 18. And I just want to go through this so that we understand the intent of God. Now, let's come down to verse 18. You shall burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering. So we have sin offering. We have burnt offering. Now let's come down to verse 24. And you shall put all in the hands of Aaron and the hands of his son, and you shall wave them for a wave offering. So we have sin offering, we have burnt offering, we have wave offering, we have the offerings of the meal, right? We have the offering of sweet incense. We have the incense offering, the whole thing. The point that is very clear is, right in the integral instructions to Moses on how he was going to carry out this covenant with them, were all of the offerings incorporated in it in the first place. And also incorporated the Ten Commandments, and also incorporated the holy days, right from the day one. Right from the day one. Now, when they were coming out of Egypt, let's back up for just a minute, the people could not bear all of the information they had to have later. So the first thing that was on their minds was, Lord, get us out of this captivity and this mess. I am tired of making bricks. I am tired of working for Pharaoh. I am tired of this slavery. So God intervened, and then now they reap the benefit of four generations of money, the gold, the silver, the apparel, and they walked out of there loaded down. Okay, before they could go, they had to keep the Passover. Then he told them also about circumcision. So here they go off on into the wilderness. They come to Mount Sinai. The covenant is made. They agree. God begins giving all the detailed instructions. One story flow continuous. Continuous. Okay, let's continue on because we have all of the offerings here. Let's go on. Verse 28, and it shall be Aaron and his sons by statute forever from the children of Israel, For it is a heave offering, and it shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel of the sacrifice of their peace offering, even of their heave offering to the Lord. So we have burnt offering, sin offering, peace offering. Okay? Now we come down here to verse 36. You shall offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement. Sin offering again. Now, verse 38. And this shall be what you shall offer upon the altar. Two lambs of the first year, day by day, continuously. See, brethren, that it was that they were to have these sacrifices every day. Whichever ones that God instructed to be done on whichever every day. It wasn't something they could decide to themselves. A person could come and say, I want to offer a peace offering to God or a sin offering because I've sinned. That would be done in addition to what the daily requirements and routine were for the priests. I mean, there was a lot of activity going on there at the temple and tabernacle. Okay? So it says, verse 39, one lamb shall you offer in the morning, the other lamb shall you offer at even. With one lamb, then it says you'll have the flour mingled with the fourth part of a hin of beaten oil and so forth, the wine offering. So then you have morning and evening sacrifice. You have again the meal offering. You have the wine offering. Okay? Now, let's come down here to verse 45, and here's the sum of it. He says, if you do all of these things that I've given you here, I'm summarizing. Verse 45, and it says, I will dwell among the children of Israel and be their God. Now you go back to chapter 25, and that's what God said. You build a tabernacle that I may dwell among them. So here he says here, that I may dwell among the children of Israel, verse 45, and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Then it talks about some more instructions. It talks about what Aaron would do. It talks about here, chapter 30 then, of the temple shekel, and all of those things that are there, and he winds it all up by giving them what in chapter 32? He's going to cement this around again by the keeping of the Sabbath, chapter 31, verse 13. We've gone over that concerning the holy days. Okay, now we have a complete package of the covenant with Israel, later to be known as the Old Covenant in relationship to the Christian Covenant, which is called the New Covenant. So, this tells us that God intended to bring sacrifices, though in the day they left Egypt, he did not speak to them concerning it. This shows very clearly that the holy days are a part of the entire covenant with Israel, not tied to the sacrifices. Very clear. Okay? Now, let's see what else we need to cover on this. Now let's come to the book of Leviticus. And I'll just briefly touch here. Just briefly touch here concerning the sacrifices. After you have received the instruction of the sacrifices given there in the book of Exodus that we just covered, how is the priest going to administer the sacrifice? What is he to do? Is he to just bring the sacrifice and, oh, well, this looks like a pretty good way to do it, and I'll throw this up there and burn that, and throw this up there and burn that, and sprinkle here and sprinkle there? No. Book of Leviticus, chapter 1, I won't go through the whole thing, but just chapter 1. And this fills right in with the rest of all the other sacrifices. And the Lord called unto Moses and spoke unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say to them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. If the offering be a burnt offering of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. But if you decided to do it, here is how it would be done. without blemish, male, okay. Verse 4, he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering and make it accepted for him to make an atonement for him. Now, that's quite a thing. You bring it up, you dedicate it to God, you put your hands right on that animal and say, this is dedicated to God, holy, voluntarily given, of my own free will, because I love God and because of the blessing that God has given him. Now, that would be quite a ceremony, you know. Just figure, taking your best bullock and doing that. Now, the reason this comes out was because on the news last night, they were showing about over there at the Cow Palace in San Francisco, and they showed how that the only things that were being auctioned this year because of the drought were just the prime bulls. Nothing else was going very good. And I saw this just nice-looking black Angus bull and then a beautiful Hereford bull. And in reading this, I'm thinking, boy, what would it be like if you had to take that prime bull and go up and lay your hands right on the head of that and give this as a dedication to God. Boy, that's something, huh? Okay. And he shall kill the bullocks, and the priests, the sons of Aaron, shall bring the blood, that is, take the blood out, okay, and sprinkle the blood round about the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces, and the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head, the fat, in order upon the wood that is upon on the fire which is upon the altar. So there was a special way they had to lay it out. But his inward parts and his legs shall you wash with water. Now, when I do get into the series on sacrifices, we'll understand the significance of that, but wash the inside part with water. I just draw your attention at this point to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, where it says, by the washing of the water of the word, cleaning out the inside, okay? And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt offering, an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. And if his offering be of the flock, namely of the sheep or of the goats, for a burnt offering, he shall bring it a male without blemish. He shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall sprinkle his blood round about. He shall cut it into pieces with the head and the fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar, and he shall wash the inward parts and the legs with water, and the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It shall be a burnt sacrifice, an offer made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Verse 14, and if the burnt offering of his sacrifice to the Lord be of the fowls, he shall bring his offering of turtle dove or young pigeons, and the priest shall bring it unto the altar and wring off his head and burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar, and he shall pluck away his crop of the feathers and cast it, which is beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes. He shall cleave it with the wings thereof. That is, hold it. He shall not divide it asunder. The priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood, and so forth. Okay. The reason I went into that is because in each case, then there's another detail on how to. Now, let's come down here to verse 11, chapter 2. I just want to cover one, which is a repetition of what we read before. No meal offering, and where it is, meat offering. That should read flour or meal. Who has a New International Version of the Bible or translation of it? It should be meal offering, or in some cases flour offering is a translation. That's what it is. Yeah, verse 11, chapter 2. Grain offering. Okay, that's it. Grain offering, meal offering. Standard. Okay. No grain offering. That's fine. Which you shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven. Okay, that's just a repeat of what we read before, okay? For you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire. Why? Honey decomposes when it gets hot. Frankincense was to be put in there for a sweet savor because frankincense improves when it's hot. Okay? Now, I think we will go ahead and finish this particular section of it by just reviewing that the sacrifices were not given because of sin. We can cover some other things a little later on. We also need to know and be aware of the fact that this covenant was to be based upon love. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter. Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, and verse 12. Remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your soul and your being and your strength. This is the first and great commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is the next commandment. And upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Okay? So you can go through and you can find out that A, the covenant given to Israel was not a covenant of hate. It was not a covenant based upon retribution because God even spared them. Remember? It was a covenant based upon promises for physical obedience. Now, let's read that still has to be based upon love. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Now, I submit maybe it'd be a nice Bible study, which we may do. You can find every one of these commandments as part of what? The Christian covenant. Isn't that correct? Yes, 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 indeed. We're to fear God. It says, let us fear, lest any promise being left us. Doesn't it? Okay. We are to walk in all his ways. We are to walk in the Jesus left us an example that we should walk therein. Okay, love him, serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command you this day for your good. Behold, the heaven of heavens is the Lord's your God, the earth also and all that therein. Only the Lord had delight in your fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you, above all people of the earth this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. Christian covenant principles, right here. So you see, when people come today, and the biggest problem they have today is they want to do the minimum to be saved. And that is a merchandising frame of mind. Where can you get the best deal for the least amount, right? And in merchandising, you shop around, correct? To get the best. You might even get a consumer's guide. I see some of you smiling because you have one. Okay? You don't do that with God. Okay? You don't shop around for a church which is going to give you a pleasing menu of what they have decided to do. You have to find out what God wants. Okay? Let's finish here. For the Lord your God is God of gods, the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible God, which regards not persons nor takes reward. He executes judgment for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love you therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And you shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him, and to him shall you cleave and swear by his name. For he is your praise, he is your God, that has done for you these great and terrible things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as a multitude, as the stars of heaven for a multitude. Then verse 1, chapter 11, therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. Okay, well, we will review just a little bit more here next week, and then I want to get into what was the religion during the days of Jesus, and how did it become that way?